Hello and welcome to Finch Shots Daily. In today's episode, we talk about the rise and rise of State Bank of Mauritius. Before we start today's episode, here's a quick side note from Team Ditto. If you're someone who has great communication skills and are enthusiastic to join our team, Ditto is looking to recruit new insurance advisors. You don't even have to know much about insurance. We will train you from scratch and you can enjoy working remotely with a great team. So if you're interested or you know someone who is, please check out the links in the description below. Imagine you're on a holiday in the US. You visit a cafe to pick up a cup of coffee in the morning and swipe your Forex card as usual. The machine beeps loudly. The card has been declined. You're confused. And then you see an email from Neo, the fintech company whose Forex card you used. They've had to suspend your card. Your money is stuck. As you scroll through the email, you find that the problem isn't actually with Neo. It's with an entity called SBM Bank. And that's when you look at the card and finally pay attention to SBM Bank printed at the bottom. You realized, oh, that isn't the State Bank of Mysore. This is State Bank of Mauritius. See, Neo wasn't really a bank. They were a fintech. They gave you the card, yes, but they had to use a banking partner, SBM Bank, to actually enable these bank-like transactions. But then, SBM Bank was pulled up by the RBI last week. It was suspended from enabling international transactions. Oops. Now, we don't know why RBI has taken such a decision out of the blue. The central bank hasn't revealed much in its public notice, except for saying supervisory concerns. But the collateral damage is clear. It's folks like Neo customers who are stuck on foreign shores and panicking. And while Neo's customers wait for a resolution, this fiasco got us thinking. SBM Bank has actually partnered with over 40 fintech companies in India. BNPL, credit cards, foreign stock investments, you name it, and SBM Bank is there in the thick of things. So how on earth did this obscure bank from a faraway island nation become a darling among Indian fintech? The story begins on the island of Mauritius off the coast of southern Africa. The country has never been an economic powerhouse and largely survived on the back of tourism. But it needed to find a way to attract capital, so it turned itself into a tax haven. And it became a massive offshore financial center that serviced the banking needs of foreigners. At one point, these assets were 50 times more than its GDP. And banks like the State Bank of Mauritius benefited from this influx of money too. But tax treaties were slowly being reworked. Countries didn't like that Mauritius was a tax haven. India tweaked its agreement with Mauritius back in 2016 as well. And banks in Mauritius felt the heat. Their growth was slowing down, so they had to expand and look outward. That's when SBM Bank decided that the opportunity was quite immense in India. While it had a presence through a regular branch in the country since the 90s, it wanted a full-fledged license to get the complete banking experience. So it applied for a license and got the approval in December 2018. SBM Bank India had arrived. But here's the thing. It never harbored intentions of becoming a traditional bank. It didn't want to set up branches that cost 2 crore rupees each across the country. It didn't want to hire thousands of relationship managers to canvass for business. It didn't want to be a capital-intensive bank. Instead, as Siddharth Rath, SBM Bank India CEO, put it, quote, "What we want is an open architecture bank where startups and fintechs do the job for us. It will be a highly asset-light model wherein we'll just be owning the brand and checking misuse," unquote. Essentially, the bank will do everything a typical bank does, deposits, credit and wealth management. But it will do this quietly in the background. It will wait for its partners to drive business and then make its way in quietly by picking up small deposits. Not many folks are aware that behind their fintech cards, there could be an SBM bank. But why did fintechs partner with SBM in the first place, you ask? Couldn't they have simply gone with more established banks? Well, for starters, as Live Mint reported, large banks were a little cautious about the partners they onboarded. They'd take their own sweet time to get the paperwork and approvals in order. They would easily take 8 to 9 months. After all, legacy banks aren't dependent on fintech startups for business. They acquired customers through their own branches. Now, startups don't have the patience to wait so long to get their business up and running. They like to move fast and break things, and SBM Bank was only too happy to oblige. It wasn't picky about its partners. Pay the bank the money, and it would help launch the startup's product, all within just a couple of months or less. And SBM Bank needed this business. It basically let startups piggyback on its banking license for a fee. It was banking as a service, or BaaS, and that's how this tiny bank made money. Secondly, as the Ken pointed out, SBM Bank was maybe willing to go where other banks weren't. For instance, you know Slice, the fintech BNPL, right? Well, Slice issued physical cards that looked and behaved like a credit card. You could swipe the card and simply pay the money later. But Slice couldn't do it on its own. It needed a banking partner that had the requisite license. That's when SBM Bank stepped in. It allowed Slice to use its prepaid payment instruments license. And while prepaid cards are like debit cards, they tweaked the card in a manner that it could dole out credit instead. It was ingenious. Now, established banks probably didn't want to push their luck with the banking regulator by doing that. They had too much at stake to lose. But SBM Bank was still trying to make inroads. They jumped in and took the risk. And it was a winner. Slice saw its business boom. Other fintechs saw this and wanted SBM Bank on their side too. SBM Bank had become a fintech darling. But here's the thing. Fintechs might be getting a little worried about this RBI order against the bank. Remember, their business is basically dependent on this one obscure foreign bank. And if the business is dependent, so are their valuations. And that didn't quite inspire a lot of confidence, especially when things go wrong as they did for Neo. These fintechs might try to hedge their bets and go hunting for other banking partners. Maybe like Federal Bank, which has also been quite the favorite among fintechs. And we have seen that play out in the past. Remember when a couple of years ago when the RBI blocked withdrawals from Yes Bank? Well, fintech payments giant PhonePe almost exclusively depended on Yes Bank. If you were a PhonePe user who created a UPI handle on the app, you would have been assigned a virtual payment address or VPA linked to Yes Bank, irrespective of where you held your actual bank account. But when the ban was enforced, all these YBL and Yes Bank UPI handles were blocked too. Merchants who used PhonePe QR codes also couldn't accept payments. With Yes Bank being in the middle of 39% of all UPI payments, it turned into an absolute mess for a while. Overnight, PhonePe had to strike a deal with ICICI Bank and solve the issue, and Yes Bank lost steam. So yes, while State Bank of Mauritius has taken the Indian fintech scene by storm thus far, we'll have to see if this RBI diktat will change its fortunes for the worse. Thank you for listening to today's episode. FinShots Daily is available on a bunch of streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Until next time.